did that for a purpose. Because when the Bible was written, they didn't write them in chapters and verses. That's something that came after. And so many times, the chapter that comes afterwards, which everyone thinks is, everyone knows, I guess you'd say, as the chapter of love, or that's used in almost every wedding today, a lot of times we think of that as being marriage. But we don't, it's easy to forget what was written right before that about the church. And this is what it says right before that. The human body has many parts, but the many parts made up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can never say to the feet, I don't need you. Isn't that a good scripture? And that brings us to point number one. Now, when I was writing this, I came up with a number of points. So we're just going to go through some of them quicker than others. If I get to the end of three, then that's all we're doing. But if we get to like seven, we'll get to seven. Got it? Don't be scared by that. I'm just giving you a warning if you're writing notes or anything like that. Point number one, our diversity is a strength, not a weakness. Many people believe that if we get everyone together who is exactly the same, that that's what makes us stronger. But it's not. You know, people think if we were just the chest and the abdomen, you know, all kind of the main parts that are keeping the body, you know, the heart, that's what we need to concentrate on. People might say, you know how those arms and hands can be. They're trying to do everything. And thank the Lord for doers. Or people can say, those feet, they keep taking the church in the wrong direction. We need people of every race, nationality, age, and stage of life. Amen? We need babies in the nursery and baby Christians making messes in the pew. We need the fire and the passion of our young adults in their teens and their 20s to inspire and fire up the rest of us. We need grandparents to mentor our families and spiritually, and the spiritually mature to coach us in our walk with God. Amen? Every stage of life. The church is meant to be generational. And that includes diversity in our worship. That's why we have diversity in our worship, in our music as well. My gift is going to be different than your gift. And I'm thankful for that. We can be thankful for the gifts that we all have. My wife's gifts are very different than my gifts, and I'm so thankful that her gifts are different than mine. My kids have different gifts, and I celebrate that. I encourage those gifts. Awesome, the way God created us. God made our diversity to be intentional and a strength. This brings us to point number two. Our value is determined by our participation, not our position. Our value. We don't get value, we don't find our identity in the position that we have in our church. Now, we find fulfillment through the gifts God has given us and through serving. That's why everyone needs to be serving. I'm going to talk a bit more about that next week, I think. What can the hand do without being attached to the body? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each of us just where he wants it. Now, too many Christians are functioning in this life as a spiritual amputee. They're walking around like this. Guess what I am? It's kind of weird, right? Every part of the body is deemed as valuable. Many people have cut themselves off, though, and they don't belong to a local body. Everyone needs to be a part of a church and connected to a church, a local body. Everyone. For someone who completely cuts themselves off, it actually cripples the church. Now, so many times I try to make sermons that are as positive and pump things that pump people up, but this is an encouraging sermon, okay? But at the same time, we're going to preach truth. This past week, I was holding a door open for someone, and someone called my name behind me, and you would never know believe what happened. The door jumped out and bit my finger. And it hurt. It wasn't me getting it caught in it. You know, I'm too smart for that. But I'm just kidding. But it hurt. It still is throbbing. And that was, I think, Tuesday night. And it bled for a long, long time. Just this middle, the small part, the small cut on my finger bled and hurt for a long time. It was throbbing. Now, this morning, I ask you, name a body part or an organ that you are willing to give up today. Is there one? Someone's like, oh, my tonsils or whatever. I think God made us. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. But veterans who have lost a limb to war would do anything to get their limb back. To walk, to run, to brush their own teeth. And your refusal to engage with the body of Christ hinders God's plan and his purpose here on earth. Now, I understand that many have been wounded by the church. I've been there. I know all about it. I could tell you story upon story. I could write a book on it. That's not what God wants us to focus on. He doesn't want us to focus on the garbage. Because you know what? I see the church, I want to see every church as being a Lamborghini for Christ. Not a pile of garbage bins tossed on by the road. Now, we are made up of people. People aren't perfect. Leaders. We need to grow leaders. Even when they make good decisions, even when leaders make incredible decisions, most leaders will say that they look back on those situations and still find things they wish they could have done better. Right? That's right. So don't blame your leaders. If you want to have a conversation with them, don't be afraid to have a conversation with them. Amen? We are made up of people, and people aren't perfect. The church sometimes represents, you know the story of the treasure? The man who bought the field because he found the treasure? You know what you get with the treasure? You get the whole field of dirt with it, right? And all of us can say that we have some dirt in our lives. But some people, all they want to do is dig up dirt. And we're not going to do that. Now, I'm talking about this big C church still, okay? Because I believe that our big C church needs a revolution around the world. And we have a choice to make with our own lives to engage in it and do our part. Hallelujah, that's awesome. But for those who are still feeling hurt, let me say this. I am sorry. Even myself as a leader. You know, I never, ever wanted to be a pastor. I never wanted to be a pastor. And I mean being in ministry. But I love serving. Am I perfect? No, no one's perfect. Am I going to let people down? Absolutely. Because everyone does. But I'm saying this morning, if you're still hurt by a leader, please accept my apology. I'm sorry. Many have been wounded by church leaders, by pastors, by deacons, by elders, by members. Spiritual people have let you down. If you know someone who was kicked out of the church because of their sin, I'm sorry. If someone's been gossiped or lied about, I'm sorry. My heart is grieved. I'm sorry for what happened to you. That was not God's plan or God's intention. But I am here to say that Jesus is the head of the church and the only true, fair, an accurate representation of God. And that should bring life to each one of us this morning. If you're going to judge someone, judge God based on the actions of the perfect Son, not imperfect humans that make up the church. I'm here to strongly tell you, don't give up on the church. Or on God, or on his plan. And we must all participate. Don't believe the lie that nobody will care if you're not here. And here's a revolution that I want everyone to get. Revelation that I want everyone to get. When we choose to attach to the unstoppable church, we become unstoppable. It saddens me when people say, oh, I'm going to leave the church over this. If they're not plugged in anywhere else, that's usually the start of a road pointing away from God. When we choose to attach to an unstoppable church, we become unstoppable. We are filled with power. And that brings me to point number three. We reach our full potential when we choose to belong. Take Sarah, for example. The arm reaches its full potential when it's attached to the body. I need some help here. There we go. That's better, isn't it? First Corinthians 12:15 says this, if the foot says, I am not part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? Or in other words, I need you just as much as you need me. We need each other. The arm makes the hand better. Ephesians 4:11-16 says this: "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. And their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come into such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other part grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." Amen? That's why I love 1 Corinthians 13 following this scripture. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It goes on and on talking about the love of Christ. And it goes on to say, love never fails. That is the unstoppable church. You make it better. I make it better. We all need to engage in church. Proverbs 27:17 says this: "As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend." The way you live has a negative or positive impact on me. If you hit my foot with a sledgehammer, the rest of the body is going to feel it. It has an impact on the whole body. So we need to choose to belong, to put down roots. Hebrews 10:24-25 says this: "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his returning is drawing near." We build a stronger body when, point number four, the greater our unity, the greater our strength and effectiveness. The greater our unity, the greater our strength and effectiveness. When Sarah gets her legs, her arms, her hips, her hands attached in unity, guess what? She has strength. Jesus said that a house divided will not stand. The greater we love, we share, and support each other, the greater unity that we will have. And the more that we will be able to accomplish for the Lord. The local church is the hope of the world. Amen. Ephesians 4:2-4 says, "Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together in peace." Binding yourselves together. Binding yourselves. Together in peace. We're not in competition with any other church. Churches should never be in competition with one another. The greater our unity, the more dangerous we become. And Satan is always trying to work against each other. He wants to work against our unity. And as a disciple, we need to live, to serve, and give like Jesus. And it takes all of us doing our part to reach people. Someone can make the coffee, someone can hold the baby, someone can greet at the front door. We have people running a camera for live stream. We have graphics and sound. We have lots of people playing instruments and singing, leading in worship, and I preach a sermon. And may this be a home where people feel welcomed, loved, and accepted. And that's all about you, each one of you. You guys will determine that. Not me. Hopefully I can bring a sermon to bring the icing on the cake. You know, not that I'm trying to make sermons icing. You know, I'm trying to bring a full meal here. But you get the point. You get what I'm saying. You make people choose this church. I hope you realize this. If God calls us to pray for our enemies, do you think he's called us to pray for church leaders and fellow friends within that we do life with? He does. Even people we don't agree with. That can be a hard thing to do. I've been challenged to do this before. And you know what? That was the key to my healing. It took a while. We need to come together to accomplish the work and the will of God. We also need to love those who have a different opinion than we have. And we can do this. Now, I'm going to go breeze through a couple quick things because they're, I want to say easier points, but what is church? Point number 5, church is people, not a place. Church is not a destination, but a living organism. If the building burns to the ground tonight, this church will be as alive as ever. Amen? In the book of Acts, they initially gathered from house to house. Church are people, not a place. Point number 6, we're called to be the church, not go to church. It's about doing, not watching. Church is a verb, not a noun. It's not about being a spectator. Jesus never intended us to just sit, watch, and spectate. How effective can we be if only one part of the body is on the field? The church is not here for us. We are the church, and we are here for the world. That's a good saying, isn't it? Let's say this together. The church is not here for us. We are the church, and we are here for the world. Point number 7, this is my last one. We're called to be contagious, not comfortable. Jesus said to go into all the world to share the good news. We're told to shine our light, not hide our light. Ephesians 3:10 says, God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display the wisdom and its rich variety to all see the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So let's come together and do church. Let's show up on Sunday morning ready to engage with people that are different than us. When we go home, let's pray for this church. Let's encourage our leaders. They're passionate about ministry. And it's awesome to see. I know that I sit in meetings with these leaders. And these leaders that you guys have here are amazing. This church will not be stopped. In Jesus' name. Why? Because our foundation is the foundation of Jesus, and Jesus is the head of the church. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to end with a video called Welcome to Church. And there are some lines in it that are awesome. Now, some people might watch a video like this and go, I don't know if a church exists.
Soaring prices, mass.
But we get to be that. We get to be this. We need to get to represent this. So let's watch this video.
Shortages. What's next? Hi, I'm Chris Hurt here, and if you're like most people, you may have noticed some strange things popping up.
Yeah.
Here's a few reasons why people don't go to church.
I can't come to church until I get my life together.
Church is how I got my life together.
Church is filled with a bunch of hypocrites.
And there's always room for one more.
All they care about is your money.
They care about me, not about my money.
Is there some kind of dress code?
Yes, the code is wear some clothes.
Church, it just makes me nervous.
I was nervous at first, and then I felt right at home.
I'm not sure I believe everything that you believe.
But you can still belong.
Church is for wimpy, girly men.
You want to say that again?
If you knew me and what I've done, you wouldn't want me.
If you knew me and what I've done, you wouldn't be worried.
You can come to my church even if you were brought up
Catholic,
Baptist,
Methodist,
Jewish,
Mormon,
Lutheran,
Pentecostal,
Presbyterian,
Church of Christ,
Southern Baptist.
A little bit of everything and a whole lot of nothing.
See, it's not about a religion, it's about a relationship.
So please, come to my church.
Where nobody's perfect.
Where beginners are welcome.
Where socks are optional,
but grace is required.
Where forgiveness is offered.
Where hope is alive.
And where it's okay to not be okay. Really.
Lord, we thank you for this church. We give you all the praise and the glory for this church and the people in it. Lord, I speak blessing on this church body right now. That we will come together and be more unified than ever. Why? Because we are forgiven. We are for the forgiven body, and you have commissioned us for good works. And Lord, I speak by the power of Jesus' name, blessing over this church, that we might be able to reach people in ways that we've never been able to reach people before. That there will be a revolution within this church, but within the Big C church, within the body of Christ around the world. Because you are alive today, Jesus, and living in us and still filling us with power and strength to live every day. Regardless of our circumstances, we are made perfect in you. And Lord, we want to be a bride ready for you, Lord. We choose to come together to fulfill your work, Lord. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Through each and every life here. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen. At this time, I'm going to invite